Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of family and friends and close relationships. We thank you for the gift of home, that place where we hopefully can celebrate our relationships and feel safe and secure and loved and accepted. Thank you for your love and your forgiveness and the way you bring that into our human relationships. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a long time since I've had a toddler in my family. But I remember many things about those years. In fact, I've never forgotten when my oldest child, my son, Brian, I think he was only about 2.5 years. And one time I was taking off probably to go to church for an evening meeting, and he said to me, "Come back home, Daddy." It's amazing how a 2.5-year-old can express words of love and acceptance and grace that fill your heart with about as much warmth as one could ever hope for in this life. One of the joys of the toddler years, of course, is that our toddlers love to be with us. They want to be with us all the time. They want to play day in and day out. They want to run day in and day out. I remember hearing of some great athlete one time who had a small child, and he tried to imitate the movements of that child for one whole day, and by the end of the day, he was absolutely exhausted, just trying to do what the child was doing. Coming home to a toddler is usually a very positive experience. I remember my children often, they'd just hear the key turning in the door, and all of a sudden they'd come running and they would hug you. Can you imagine anything greater in life than coming home and having kids run and hug you? I still remember my father coming home. He ran a little furniture store in a little town I grew up in, and when he would come home, we would run to the door and we'd hug him, and then if it was winter, he'd hang his coat in the closet, and then we'd go into the pockets of his coat, because many days he'd buy a couple candy bars and put them in there, and we were looking to see if we could find that gift. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our coming home was that kind of joyous experience, whether you are the waiting child or the returning parent? But of course, children do grow up. And as they grow up, they become more independent. They begin naturally to rely on their friends and less on their parents. They want to spend more time with their friends and less time with their parents. I just returned from our usual summer vacation at our cabin in Minnesota, which we've had for almost 30 years now. My wife is a school teacher, so we take almost all our vacation during the year when she is off. In the old days, once in a while, we would do something during spring break. But guess when spring break is in this part of the country? Right during Holy Week. So not too good of a deal for a pastor and a wife to find time during Holy Week to go off somewhere. But of course, I remember as our kids, they used to love to go to the cabin when they were young. But as they got older, they either wanted to bring a friend, or if they couldn't bring a friend, then they'd rather stay home. That's part of the growing up years. And as you get into those adolescent and junior high years, why is it that all of a sudden the very same parent that you thought was so cool all becomes some kind of an embarrassment? Why do they do things like you're eating a meal and they complain to the waitress about the food? Why do they do strange things like dispute the cost of something at the cash register? Don't they know how embarrassing these things are to you as a kid? Well, we all went through those times when our parents embarrassed us and we maybe embarrassed them. It's amazing how toddlers, it's so natural for them to want to do things with you, but that changes over the years. So sometimes coming home for either a parent or a teenager may not be as enjoyable as it once was. Youth, of course, are searching for the right level of independence. Parents are searching for the right level of letting go. We know it's not good for parent or child to be too independent, but it's also not good to be too dependent. So we're all in the middle here trying to figure out what that relationship is going to be like, and there's going to be a lot of conflict because of it as we search for that right balance. I remember in my years of doing youth ministry, the biggest complaint I would always receive from youth as they were growing up is that they felt like their parents did not trust them enough. And that they were too nosy. They always wanted to know, where are you and what are you doing and who are the people you're hanging out? On the other hand, parents often feel unappreciated and kind of left out. It's not that they think they want to be so nosy, but they want to make sure their children are safe and in a good environment. So it often becomes very uncomfortable as there's this search for balance, for this kind of warm and gracious acceptance. And the simple fact is over time, sometimes children don't want to be at home anymore. They don't feel comfortable at home. And as the years go by, we always hope that children will come home. And we hope that parents will feel home and at home in the places of their kids. But it's not always that way. I've talked to many adults over the years who really don't like to go home. They feel like they get back into some kind of childhood feelings. It kicks in all kinds of negative feelings and emotions for them. And there's other parents who tell me they wish they could feel at home in their children's homes once they are adults, but they don't always feel comfortable doing that either. Well, our text for today is about just such a painful relationship. Normally we say between a father and a son, but I think we could also say between parents and the son. I'm sure the mother was involved in some way, even though she's not talked about directly in this text. But traditionally, I think the son has received kind of a bad rap. We've talked about him always as his irresponsible, selfish son. Well, the text doesn't really say that. In fact, scholar Paul Scherer points out, we need not assume that the younger son was a bad man when he left home. This division of property, as described, was not unusual. We do not really know what was going on in the mind of the son. Maybe he just wanted to go off and make something of himself. Maybe he had dreams like most of us do, and he thought that somehow he'd be able to accomplish them better in another place. Asking for his share of the inheritance to try to do that was not necessarily a selfish act. In my part of the country where I grew up in the Midwest, often parents would try to help their kids get started in some kind of business or on the farm or something like that. But whatever the original intentions of the son, things quickly turned worse. Sounds like he made some bad decisions. We don't really know what he did, but all of a sudden it says that he had squandered his inheritance in dissolute living. Then, as often happens, circumstances outside make things worse. A famine comes along, and we can assume that it was a time of high unemployment. It would be hard to find another job, or at least a job that paid well. So the son, as we say, hits bottom. And all of a sudden, he finds himself doing the most degrading work that a Jewish person could. Because of their kosher laws, they did not believe in eating pork, and yet here he is feeding pigs, almost wishing he had as good a food as the pigs had. That's about as far down as you could get. But let's consider for a moment the relationship between the parents and son at this point, including the pain that existed between them. We know that the son longed to go home, but he experienced the pain of believing that he would no longer be welcome at home. He felt like a failure. He had wasted his parents' hard-earned money, and he knew it. Perhaps he had not communicated with home for a long period of time. A lot of times when things are going poorly in our lives, we don't want anybody to know about it. We're ashamed to even let our family or friends know what is going on for us. But then let's think about the pain of the parents. Perhaps they saw it as natural for their son to leave home. But as time went on, all of a sudden, they weren't hearing from him. Maybe he had decided not to communicate with them, or maybe he had just gone off somewhere and they had no idea where he was. I have met many parents, and I find out that they have a child, and I say, well, what's the child doing? And they say, I don't know. I haven't talked to this person in 5 years. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they're getting along. So this may have happened in this case as well. Imagine the pain of the parents. They want to know what's going on, but they don't know what's going on. And so they just sit at home wondering what to do. As we know in life, one of the difficult things is sometimes we can intervene at the wrong time. Sometimes we may know our kids are going through a difficult time and we'd really like to reach out to them, but we know that it'll maybe do more harm than good because a lot of times people can't receive help unless they're actually ready and open to doing it. Well, at any point, at this point in the story, something important happens. The son decides he's going to return home. Even though he no longer even sees himself as a son, he really sees himself as no better than a hired hand or a servant. He still decides he is going to go home. And this is important because many times in life we may be filled with remorse. But just being filled with remorse if we just sit there and do nothing is not helpful. It takes a lot of courage sometimes to go to the next step and to actually reach out to someone and try to resolve what's going on. So the parents, they may have felt like they couldn't act. Either, as I said, because they didn't know what was going on. And what's interesting about that is it's different than the preceding parables. This parable sometimes is called the lost son, and it's preceded by two very short parables, the one of the lost coin and the where this woman searches throughout her whole house and she's trying to find this one coin that was lost. And the other one is the lost sheep. A sheep herder has 100 sheep, one of them gets lost and he goes and finds it. So the sheep herder tries to find the lost sheep. The woman tries to find the lost coin. So now when we come to the lost son, we may assume that the parents are going to go and try to find the son, but they don't. Either, as I said, because they have no idea what's happened to them, or probably more likely because they know that they can't reach out to him unless he is open to receiving that help. And so we find this very emotional picture of these helpless parents wanting to intervene but feeling like they can't. And so it says that every day the father went out to the road and looked in both directions to see if he might catch a glimpse of his son. I was reading this text when I was still at our cabin, and our cabin is a cabin in the woods. It's probably over 100 yards on a little winding trail through the trees before you even get to it. And I could picture myself in the father's situation or the mother's every day walking out to the road, out by the mailbox, and then looking this way, looking that way, day after day, just hoping I might see my child coming home. And you might think from this parable that it's not going to happen, because sometimes in life we have a lot of unfinished business and things don't work out the way we hope they will. But then imagine, all of a sudden it happens. One day the father goes out there, he looks down the road, and he sees his son approaching. The son is afraid. He's memorized his speech. He's practiced it over and over again. He says, "I'm not worthy to be your son. I know what I did was wrong. But would you let me come home? Because you are a better land, you're a better person than all the people I work for. At least you treat your servants with respect. So could I please come home and be a hired hand?" But he doesn't even have to get his memorized speech out. His father runs down the road. He embraces him. He surrounds him with love and kisses and prepares a great celebration. And our text says that the father feared that his son had actually been dead, or if not dead actually, then dead in spirit. And now he is alive and he wants to make him well. Love and forgiveness overcome pain and failure, and the son is given new life, and so are his parents. Powerful expressions, aren't they? Coming home. As parents, we say, "Hey, the kids are coming home." Or you have a chance to go home and you say, "Hey, I'm going home." Just those words are powerful. Or we think of the title of one of our more famous Vietnam era movies, Coming Home, which talked about the way all families feel when their sons or daughters are at war. And then finally, there is that last home, which is sometimes put as going home. I'm going home. We had a funeral here yesterday for Francis Weaver, a longtime member. She grew up in Virginia, lived her whole life in the state. I think she's from out around Warrenton. And I used to go see her. And she was in her 90s, living at home, trying to take care of herself, but getting to the point where she could hardly move around anymore. And she'd say, "Why am I still here? Why am I still here?" I've heard many elderly people, because they're not afraid of the future. What they want to do is go home. They want to go to their final home. So sometimes it takes a lot of years, a lot of patience, but Frances, yep, she finally had a chance to go home. This parable can be applied to both our human relationships and to our relationship with God. In both cases, it is a parable of love and forgiveness and grace overcoming that which is destructive, or our sin or our failures in life. In our human relationships, how many celebrations await us if we could just take that second step beyond remorse and be willing to go and begin the conversation that needs to happen? And in our relationship with God, the good news is that God also wants to celebrate with us. Whenever we wander too far from home, we dare trust that God waits longingly, waits for us too, to come home. Amen.